This episode of To the Journey is brought to you by Audible.com, offering more than 180,000 titles for smartphone, tablet, and desktop. To get a free audiobook of your choice and help Trek.fm at the same time, visit audibletrial.com/trekfm. And also by Enterprise in Space, an international program of the nonprofit National Space Society. Find out how you can help science and education and become a virtual crew member aboard the NSS Enterprise Orbiter by visiting enterpriseinspace.org. And if you want to join the conversation and share your thoughts on this episode, join the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook. Just type B-A-B-E-L into the Facebook search field. We look forward to seeing you there.
Hi, this is Robert Duncan McNeil, also known as Tom Paris from Star Trek Voyager. You're listening to Trek FM.
I think it's safe to say that no one on this crew has been more obsessed with getting home than I have. But when I think about everything we've been through together, maybe it's not the destination that matters. Maybe it's the journey. And if that journey takes a little longer, so we can do something we all believe in, I can't think of any place I'd rather be, or any people I'd rather be with.
To the journey.
You're here.
To the journey.
Hello, everybody at home, and welcome. This is To the Journey. I'm your co-host, Zachary Frueling, and with me, as always, is
Suzanne Williamson.
Well, today we're going to be grabbing our sunscreen and heading back to the desert island to see which Voyager episodes we would take with us to a desert island from Voyager Season 5. Suzanne, it's been a while since we did a desert island episode, way back when we did Season 4 when Kay was still with us.
I know. I just checked out Kay's hut and I think the monkey took over. She's not going to be happy.
What I love about doing these desert island episodes, Suzanne, is that it forces us to be concise. It's not just a matter of picking our favorite episodes, it's a matter of picking the three episodes, and only three episodes, that we would take to a desert island, forsaking the rest of the episodes from the season for all time.
And that's why I hope you pick some of the ones that I really like, so I can come over to your hut and watch them.
It is interesting to see whether we will get the chance to watch these episodes together, or whether we will perpetually remain in our own huts.
Going by your past choices, I'm going to say you're going to be spending a lot of time alone in your hut, and I'm locking the door to mine.
You don't like my picks ever? What's wrong?
You pick some really weird stuff.
Like what? Give me an example.
Dude, like I've listened to our past episodes lately? No, I don't have an example. I just remember being like, I can't believe you picked that. It is difficult to come up with what episodes out of the entire season, especially a season so good as season 5 is, that I just can't live without. Because there are so many. And more than three is what I wanted to do, but since we only had three to choose from.
Honestly, season 5 is my go-to season of Voyager. If I pick a random season of Voyager to watch, it's 9 times out of 10 it'll be season 5.
Yeah, season 4 or season 5 are up there for my random viewing pleasure.
So it's hard. I had to really whittle this list down. I've got three, but I've got a lot of honorable mentions that I'm going to try to force myself not to spend too much time thinking about for the sake of the three essentials.
Yeah, I have a list of 7. So 4 honorable mentions that I probably won't mention, but I really, really want to because I'd try and stow them away, maybe hidden in my socks or something.
You could keep them stored in a transporter buffer.
That's if we have a transporter.
Hide them from Kashyyyk.
Are you giving away one of your choices right now?
No, in fact, I will admit that that is not one of my choices and not one of my honorable mentions.
Me too. So if you're not going with Counterpoint, what is your first pick?
I'm curious whether this is on your list. I think it will be, but Timeless is my first pick. Number one pick I would have to take with me.
Not on my list. Not even honorable mention.
Not on your list at all?
Nope, not at all.
Really? I could watch Timeless again and again and again.
You are sadistic.
Why? What do you have against Timeless?
You want to see Captain Janeway die over and over and over again. Really?
You're right. I have to admit, it is a strange pick because it's not really an ensemble episode. It's mostly Harry and Chakotay.
And Tessa. And Captain LaForge.
So why is it on my list? I have no idea.
I don't know. It's your list, dude.
So I think that's the thing that's weird about that episode for me, is that there are a lot of reasons not to put it on the list. It's not an ensemble episode. Captain Janeway dies. All this stuff about the episode kind of bugs me. And yet I can watch it again and again and again. And I want to take episodes with me that I could watch again and again and again.
Yeah, that one's difficult for me to watch just because of, you know, most of the crew dying under that giant iceberg. And then Chakotay and Harry walking through the corpses of their dead crewmates. That's difficult.
I think I love the existential grabbing the bull by the horns in this episode. It's refusing to let the past be what it is and doing everything they can to reset history. It's not fatalistic at all. They're taking fate and firmly putting it in their own grasp.
Now, my question about this is that this episode happens after Relativity. So after we see the time cops, why didn't they show up this time? Where's the Relativity? I mean, pretty much they wanted to get rid of Janeway anyway because she kept messing with the timeline and messing things up. They could have just left her be, you know, and snatched up Chakotay and Harry for trying to mess with the timeline. Instead, no, they let them reset the timeline, bring Janeway and the crew back so she can mess with time again later on. What the?
It's just the time cops outsourcing their job. Let Harry and Chakotay take care of business.
I think somebody was asleep on the job is what it was.
Yeah, no one in the writer's room sat around and said, well, what about, we just had that Relativity. Where's Captain Braxton?
Well, no, Captain Braxton, remember, is gone.
That's right. It would be the first officer or maybe 7 of 9 if they recruited her for a fourth time jump.
But she can't keep jumping.
That's why she's dead in Timeless. Everyone else died on impact. 7 of 9 did too many time jumps. I would have assumed Timeless was on your list. You're not a fan of Timeless, I take it.
No, I'm not.
I would say it's my go-to episode for teaching people about Voyager.
Really?
Yeah. If I had to pick one episode of Voyager to show someone who'd never seen Voyager before, I would totally pick Timeless. Because I think it's kind of epic in scope. It's dramatic. It's got this heartfelt moment at the end where Harry Kim saves the day in an alternate timeline and has to tell his younger self what he did, essentially. It's great. The whole episode works for me. But it doesn't work for you.
No, because they wouldn't be beholden to the Voyager crew, and they wouldn't care if most of them died in the beginning.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Somebody doesn't know about Voyager, they're going to be like, eh, so these people died, so what?
Would you still come over to my hut to watch Timeless if I put it on?
Only if you make me popcorn.
It's a deal.
Okay, I'll think about it.
At least it's good to know that that's the rule, that even if our lists disagree, we can still watch Voyager together. Okay, so if you're not a fan of Timeless, what's number one for you?
Number one on my list from season 5 has got to be Bliss.
Really?
Yes.
Bliss?
Bliss.
I can't stand that episode.
You, sir, leave this podcast right now. How can you not stand the enormous space-dwelling pitcher plant?
Okay, I have to say that that is very reminiscent of the original series.
It is, and I think that's why I like it. Because TOS is what got me started in Star Trek to begin with, watching it with my dad.
Yeah, it's the giant space amoeba all over again.
Yeah, but with the Voyager crew and 7 of 9, and to a lesser extent, Naomi.
Well, I've held this view for a long time, that Voyager is the spirit child of the original series. It has the same sense of being out on the frontier, removed from easy communication with headquarters, having to make decisions on the fly, weird space phenomena. It's mm-hmm. very reminiscent of the original series. And you're right. That episode is par excellence the example of being in the same vein as the original series.
But I really like this episode because it speaks to be careful what you wish for. Because everyone wants to get back home and back to the Alpha Quadrant so much. And then they're presented with this wormhole. And yes, I'm using air quotes, wormhole. That'll take them back to Earth.
Quote-unquote wormhole.
That'll take
them back
to Earth.
So-called wormhole.
And make pretty much all of their dreams come true. I mean, Captain Janeway, her former fiancé, is calling off his engagement just to get back with her. It's like, seriously? Neelix is going to be made an ambassador. Paris is getting his dream job.
You know what I love about that episode? I love 7 of 9's look of skepticism when everyone's starting to get exactly what they want and 7 of 9 is not buying it.
Like exactly.
Something is not adding up and only 7 is clued into it.
Exactly. 7 saved the day.
And that's enough to put this on your list, huh? As number one.
As number one, yes.
Wow. That's so interesting.
It just comes across as a fun episode for me.
We've done 58 episodes of To the Journey together, and I would not have guessed in a million years that that would be number one on your list.
Why not? I like Seven.
There's lots of Seven episodes inside season five, not just this one.
I know, and I have another one. On my honorable
mention. Oh, it's the Seven of Nine show.
Actually, no, it's my love letter to Seven of Nine. This season five is my love letter, because I have a few on my list that are all seven episodes.
I have to say, Suzanne, I am genuinely surprised by that pick. Not much surprises me, but that genuinely threw me for a loop.
Well, I enjoy it, and I really like guest star William Morgan Shepherd, who's Mark Shepherd's father, who was also in an episode of Voyager. But he's just...
Really?
He's just a really interesting character.
Yeah, I actually just rewatched it recently, and you're right. It is very similar to the original series, and it was fun. I forgot how fun it was just to have a weird space anomaly as part of the show. Weird stuff in space, that's Voyager.
Weird is part of the job.
And I think Voyager does weird better than other Star Trek shows, honestly. It can get away with it. It makes it humorous.
It definitely embraces it a little more than others.
It can be tongue-in-cheek, and that's cool on Voyager. This episode strikes me as very tongue-in-cheek. I don't take this episode seriously. It's almost like it's a joke.
I don't see it as a joke.
You don't?
No, not at all.
I guess there's a message to it.
There is definitely a message to it. Be careful what you wish for. And don't look a gift horse in the mouth. I'm just going to keep rattling off these things now.
Get any more cliches?
Yeah, that's what I'm going with right now. Cliches.
Platitudes.
But sometimes the thing that you want most isn't what's best for you. And I think that's what it's trying to say, really. It's like, yes, you really, really want to get home, but you're going to kill yourself doing it. Okay, so I suspect you're not coming over to my hut to watch Bliss. That's fine. I don't care.
No, I'll watch it.
Yeah, no. Don't force yourself.
I'll just assume your hut is a big space anomaly. Do you think you could guess my next pick, Suzanne? This is like a test. How well do you know me? It's like the Newlyweds game. Well. Remember the Newlyweds game?
Yes. Yes, the Newlyweds
game. We're playing the Newlyweds game, but with Star Trek Voyager. So what would my next pick be? Go, Suzanne.
Oh my gosh. See how well this you is know difficult. Me. This is difficult. I have to get inside Zach's mind. It's strange and weird in here.
You must know me by now.
And I'm going to go with someone to watch over me.
Ding, 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 ding. You're so right.
Yes. Yay!
Yes, I love someone to watch over me. I could watch that episode again and again and again as well.
That didn't make my list.
Really?
Yeah.
I would have sworn that would be on your list. Wow, I don't know you at all, Suzanne.
I do like that episode, it's not one that I'm going to take with me. I have others that I can't live without.
I think I could watch the scene of the Doctor and Seven singing music together all the time, and it always makes me happy.
But then the end, it makes you sad, or it makes me sad every single time.
Why does it make you? Yes, it's kind of sad, but why does it make you sad?
Because I'm a shipper at heart.
And you want to see the Doctor and Seven together?
I did. I always shipped them.
I did too. Yeah. They have such great on-screen chemistry together. Absolutely.
They do. They play off each
other.
They're
an odd couple, but that's okay. Wouldn't be the first odd couple in history.
Some odd couples make the best couples. That's yes, just how it goes. But yeah, it breaks my heart every time in the end.
Well, you have to feel for the Doctor, right? He's not able to verbalize what he thinks. It's not really being reciprocated, although maybe it is and she's not expressing it. We don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's it. I'm fundamentally a shipper at heart, and this is like the shipperiest of the episodes in season five.
Is that a word, shipperiest? It is now. Shipperiest.
So that didn't make your list either. I hope you'd at least come over to my hut to watch that one if you're not coming over to watch Timeless.
Oh, definitely. And this time I'll bring the popcorn. You'd have to supply the tissues.
Okay, you bring the popcorn, I'll bring the tissues. It's yes. A deal. So you seem to warm up to someone to watch over me more than Timeless.
Oh, definitely. I it's not that I don't like someone to watch over me. I do. I really do. But I can only pick three. And there are others that I can't let go. I have to have them.
I like this new version of this game that we have where we try to pick each other's picks. So I'm going to do that next.
Okay.
This is really hard.
Yes, it is.
That's why it's fun, though. Okay, I think you would pick Extreme Risk.
No, That's not even an honorable mention. That's not on my list at all.
You're like, not even close. Do you even know me at all?
No. No.
Wow, I really missed the mark. It's like I'm playing darts with Julian and Miles, and I missed the dartboard.
As long as you didn't hit somebody with a dart.
Ah, my eye! Okay, so not extreme risk. Wow, I blew it. You laughed at my pick.
I didn't laugh. I was like, no. And then maybe I laughed.
Okay, do I get another try?
Sure, you can have another try.
In the Flesh.
No.
No, over two.
Not on the list at all.
Okay, well, I suck at this. So, Suzanne, what's your pick?
My second pick is Knight.
Oh, I was going to guess Knight because Knight is on my honorable mentions list.
Knight is an amazing episode.
I love Knight. It was very hard not to put Knight on my list.
Well, it's on my list. Ha ha, yay.
Yay, good. I can come to your hut and watch.
Yes, you can.
Except we have to do a role reversal. You bring the clarinet. I'll write the concerto.
No clarinets allowed in my hut.
That is one of my favorite parts of Knight, though, is Harry playing his clarinet on the bridge.
Oh, I could do without that part. Seriously.
Really? I love the ennui of that episode, the boredom of it all. Because life is like that sometimes. Don't you ever just go, what am I going to do? I don't want to do anything. I'll play my clarinet. I'll watch some Star Trek. I'll whatever. Fill in the blank.
I was more of the Captain Janeway type, locking myself in my quarters.
I definitely have some locking myself in the quarters moments. Yeah, I understand that completely.
I completely see myself as her in this episode, just locking myself in there and everything that's gone wrong. It's all my fault. I understand the depression. Mm-hmm. And the intense guilt. I understand that.
Putting the whole world on your shoulders.
Yeah, pretty much.
We're not used to seeing Captain Janeway be melancholy.
I wouldn't even call it melancholy. She is severely depressed.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. I was trying to euphemize it a bit.
We just don't get to see Starfleet captains dealing with something that we might deal with on a day-to-day basis. Something that a lot of people really struggle with. I struggled with it for a long time.
And it's not like there's a counselor on board.
No. I mean, there's Chakotay, who kind of counsels.
Like, if this were the Next Generation, Captain Picard would say, Counselor, can I see you in my ready room? And they'd go to talk about it for half an hour.
I mean, after Voyager, we got to see a little bit of it with Captain Archer on Enterprise. I mean, he went through his bout of depression. But this is the first time that we've seen a Starfleet captain deal with depression and the consequence of their actions.
This harkens way back to the premiere episode of Star Trek, The Cage. Mm-hmm.
With Captain Pike.
Captain Pike feeling the weight of the world on his shoulders and wanting out as well.
Yeah.
It's interesting that we both love Knight for two very different reasons. While I myself can relate to the sort of melancholy or depression of Captain Janeway, I find the boredom aspect very interesting. This fact that there's nothing to do and these people have to fill their time somehow. Otherwise, they're going to go stark raving mad. And Neelix is going to go crazy from nihilophobia and replicate some curtains. But Harry Kim playing his clarinet on the bridge, composing his concerto, just typifies this entire episode for me.
An off question. So why is everybody bored when they have holodecks and they can go do whatever they want to do?
If you remember, though, Tom Paris and the Doctor had a little altercation about whose holodeck timer really was, resulting in the hologrid blowing out. One of my favorite lines from Chakotay is, the last thing we need is a broken holodeck. I could come up with a bunch of things to do in the holodeck. I don't know what everyone's problem is in this episode.
Yeah. And if I was on the bridge, I would be pretty ticked that I'd have to listen to Harry.
Well, Harry Kim has a great idea. He says, let's treat it like a two-year vacation. That's essentially what you're saying, right? Let's go play in the holodeck.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean I have to, when I'm on duty, listen to him play his clarinet.
Was he the only one on the bridge?
That's not cool. There should always be at least two people. What if he, passes out for some reason?
I guess there were other people on the bridge. I didn't really notice, but Tuvok comes onto the bridge, and he's playing his clarinet, and he tells Harry, at ease. And you would expect Tuvok—what I love about this is you would expect Tuvok to be a bit more rigid about this. Like, you can't play your clarinet on the bridge. And Harry Kim says, you want to hear my concerto? And he says, why not, essentially? Tuvok's bored, too.
Tuvok is really bored.
He doesn't show it very much, but when Harry Kim says You got a minute? He says, too many.
Yes.
What do Vulcans do when they're bored? They meditate? Do they play Kalto?
Meditate while playing Kalto?
I think boredom is good for the soul. It's good to have time to yourself with nothing to do, no noise but your own thoughts. I think that's important in life.
But at sometimes that can be detrimental to your mental health. If it's at the wrong point of time for you to be sitting
in. You can be in your own head too much.
Yeah. To just have it thrust upon you when you're used to running 24/7. Sometimes it's not good to be in your head all the time.
Truth.
As Captain Janeway proves.
She snaps out of it, though. Once there's a crisis, she snaps right into gear.
She does. The captain mode just slides right on.
Oh, yeah. You know, she, you know, takes her tunic off and gets her tank top on. She's got her guns out, ready to go fight.
Which makes me wonder when she does find the time to deal with what she's going through.
I don't think she ever really does.
Because that never goes away if you don't address it.
I don't think it does, though. I don't think Captain Janeway does deal with it. I think she just represses it, and I think she just focuses on the thing at hand, and I don't think it ever really does go away. She just ignores it.
That's not healthy, Captain Janeway.
So you would like to have seen a follow-up to this episode?
I would have, yes.
What would that have been? How do you anticipate?
I don't know. Maybe, you know, when Counselor Troy was there with the Midas Array, like, she yes. could have hopped on.
Counseling session by remote.
Why not? Counselor Troy's there talking with Reg. She could have taken care of the captain for a little bit.
They could have used the Midas Array mm-hmm. with some sort of space phenomenon to beam Counselor Troy
no, over the she doesn't have to beam. They could just talk over the Midas Array.
You don't think it would be more interesting if Counselor Troy beamed over to the Voyager somehow?
It would have been amazing if we could have had Counselor Troy beam over. That would have been great. You're just giving me one episode, so it's going to be a talk thing. Because if you're beaming her over, I'm not letting her go back.
She stays on Voyager.
Yes. She stays with us until we get home.
In a way, she kind of does. She makes a couple of appearances on Voyager. Same thing with Barclay. They're like honorary Voyager.
But she never talks members. To the Voyager crew. She only talks to Barclay.
She doesn't even talk to the holograms, does she?
No. The Voyager crew got robbed of Troy and her wisdom.
So what advice would Counselor Troy have given Captain Janeway?
Oh, gosh, I have no idea. That's why I want to watch it.
I'm a little embarrassed that you were able to pick my pick on the first guess, and I had two guesses, and I was totally unable to pick your episode. And I failed so badly that you grunted at me.
I didn't really grunt. That wasn't grunt.
It was a vocalization.
Isn't most of what I do a vocalization? It is a podcast. If I just make faces, people won't know.
Well, clearly I need to do my Suzanne character analysis and get to know your Voyager intuitions even more. 58 episodes together has not done the trick.
Nope.
Okay, you want to keep the game up? You want to pick my next pick?
I don't know that I'll get your last pick. That's going to be tough. 30 days?
No, not even close.
No. Nothing human.
Nope, try again.
No.
Okay, now I don't feel so bad. Yeah. I'm getting some schadenfreude here, just enjoying seeing you fail at this after I failed so miserably. So.
Latent image.
Nope.
No, I have no idea.
0 for 3.
I have no idea.
Okay, my next pick is In the Flesh.
I was going to say that, but I thought it was too obvious.
No, I love In the Flesh. I think it's such a fun episode. You get to see Starfleet headquarters. You get to see Boothby. No, I love that episode. I could watch that one over and over again.
You were just all about the Boothby, aren't you? I should have picked that. That would have been my next guess, that or Gravity. Yeah.
Oh, yes, Gravity. I could put Gravity on the list, absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's actually a tie between In the Flesh and Gravity. Okay, actually, you just, on the fly, made me change my mind.
Oh,
I will pick Gravity instead of it In the Flesh. Yeah, you see what you did? You opened up a can of worms.
What did I do?
You have me second-guessing myself now. I would totally pick Gravity instead. I find Gravity a much more touching episode.
Okay. Gravity it is. Tank Girl for the win!
I think I love Gravity because I can relate both to Nos and to Tuvok in different ways. And it's a remarkably touching, not quite a love story. It's a doomed romance.
It is. It's doomed. And I think we mentioned that.
And I like Tom's pep talk for Tuvok. You, me, and the rocks.
Tom and Tuvok on the rocks. Yes.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. I could, it's really a toss up though. In the Flesh is, I could watch that one all the time as well, but Gravity I find just a bit more moving, so I gotta go Gravity.
Okay. I might stop by and watch that if I'm in a Lori Petty mood. Yeah, but that's really one that I could just leave behind.
If we don't want to be totally alone on this desert island, I feel like we should pick episodes that we know the other person wants to come over and watch.
Part of being a desert island is you're alone on a desert island. There's not always necessarily someone else there.
Oh, so this is not a communal desert island. This is our own personal desert island.
Well, you're on one side of the island with your hut. I'm on the other side of the island with my hut. And Kay's hut is, off on the other. So there's at least three sides of the island.
I was thinking they'd be like, no, you and I had a different vision of this. I was thinking it was going to be three huts when Kay was still here, like in a row on the beach.
Oh, no.
Three huts on different.
No.
Too close for comfort.
My hut was never anywhere near yours. You can be on the beach. I'm on like this little meadow protected somewhere.
Just like the quiet?
That and protected from the storms that are going to come in off the ocean, yes.
Wait, did you just push me to the front line on the storm front?
You put yourself there.
If that storm's coming, it can take out Zach's hut. I'm hanging out on the other side of the island where it's safe. I want you to like Gravity more than you do.
I'm sorry. It's just...
And you want me to like Bliss more than I do.
You don't have to like Bliss. I'm not going to force you to like Bliss. You're your own person. If we all liked the same thing, then Voyager wouldn't be as much fun as it is.
That is very true. But Bliss, really?
Yes, Bliss.
Okay. You're like, Gravity, really?
Yeah, pretty much. Except for Lori Petty, I could do without the episode.
Would you come over to watch In the Flesh more, or would you watch Gravity more? In the Flesh.
Probably In the Flesh, because it's heavy on the Chakotay.
Yeah, honestly, this is where it gets tough, because honestly, In the Flesh has a little more rewatch value to me than Gravity does, even though I like the emotion of Gravity more. See what you did? You made this really confusing.
That's what I do with most things.
Okay, so you have one more pick. That I have to try to guess.
Are you sure you want to?
I'm going to try my best.
Okay.
I am going to think outside the box a little bit and guess that one of your picks, your last pick, is 1159.
Nope, not on my list.
Nope. Oh, man. All right, I give up. I'm bad at this. What do you got?
All Hail the Queen. We're going with Bride of Chaotica.
I was wondering if you would pick Bride of Chaotica. And yet, it was kind of too obvious of a pick, so I didn't choose the obvious choice.
Oh, yeah, that's one I can't deny myself. Captain Janeway as Queen Arachnia. Oh, yeah.
You need your Arachnia fix.
I do. She hams it up.
You do not have arachnophobia.
So well.
She does ham it up well. Yes. It's fun to see her ham it up, because Captain Janeway is a fairly serious role. She doesn't ham it up very much, and it's fun to see her loosen up and ham it up.
And roll her eyes. She rolled her eyes so much during this episode, it was great.
Okay, now Kate Mulgrew does have quite an eye roll. Yes,
she does.
I will grant you that. And she does it a couple times in Voyager. Like with the aliens in Virtuoso. She gives them quite an eye roll as well.
Oh, yeah. I had to think the ones with
the superiority complex? Yes. Yeah.
But not only do we get Queen Arachnia in this episode, we get the President of Earth. Come on, the Doctor as the President of Earth. That's awesome.
It would be hard to leave Bride of Chaotica behind. I mean, I grew up watching things like The Twilight Zone and these, you know, kind of weird 1950s, 1960s shows, Outer Limits, that kind of thing. And this totally reminds me of that old kind of 50s, 60s sci-fi stuff that I grew up watching.
It reminds me more of Flash Gordon.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
With Chaotica, yes. He's definitely like the bad guy in Flash Gordon, whose name I can't remember.
So really, Bride of Chaotica would make your list. I toyed with the idea of putting that on my list because I do enjoy the episode, but I enjoy the other episodes more.
Oh, come on. It was written by Brian Fuller, whom I adore. I mean, everything that man has touched has been so amazing.
Only a beautiful mind could come up with Bride of Chaotica.
the same mind that gave me my Hannibal and Pushing Daisies, which I loved Pushing Daisies.
I have to admit, I have not watched either of those shows.
Oh, of course you haven't. You don't watch anything. I even have the Bride of Chaotica poster behind me.
Really?
Yes, let's see if I can pan up.
I don't believe you've ever shown me your Bride of Chaotica poster. Let's see this.
Right there.
Oh, so you do.
I do.
I presume you would bring that to your hut.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, we haven't clarified what we'd get to bring with us to our desert island huts, but at least a DVD player or Netflix.
Something.
Some mechanism for watching Voyager.
Something. I have my old VHS tapes where I recorded it off the TV.
That would be awesome, yes. I feel like on a desert island, you have to go VHS.
Well, I have the tapes, so I can do that. We'll get to see some sweet 90s commercials, too.
I love old commercials, actually. I guess the president of Earth makes sense, right? It's supposed to be futuristic, and all the governments have been unified, and it's president of Earth. Sure, that makes sense.
I don't know. It's just a fun episode, and I'm not leaving it behind.
I think what I love about the Captain Proton sequence is it's such a Tom and Harry bromance thing. It's like Geordi and Data playing Sherlock Holmes on The Next Generation. Mm-hmm. It's so charming. Would you be Captain Proton or would you be Buster Kincaid? If we were doing Captain Proton right now.
I can't be one of the good guys. I'm sorry.
You would be Arachnia. Or no, you would be Chaotica.
I think I'd be Chaotica's henchman.
Oh, okay. Yes. I see that.
Yeah, because I don't want to be the fully evil dude who's everybody's trying to destroy. I want to be the guy behind the evil dude.
See, I could totally pop out and go, the jig is up.
Yeah, you could.
Captain Proton is here. I'd be a great Captain Proton.
Oh, no. I saw you more as Buster Kincaid.
Oh, really? I'm a Buster
You're
Kincaid?
A Buster.
Oh, man. Thanks, Suzanne. Isn't that the way of things in life? You view yourself as a Captain Proton, but really you're a Buster Kincaid. So I presume you've got some honorable mentions, just like I do. What are your honorable mentions? Do you want to go 1, 2, 3 and give me your list?
I have 4.
1, 2, 3, 4.
I have 4 honorable mentions because 1 7 episode wasn't enough for me.
I gather that based on your earlier comments.
Yeah. Well, she was just really good in season 5. Jeri Ryan was pretty awesome.
She was. I think it took a year for her to really gel in the character. There's some great 7 stuff in season 4, mm-hmm. but season 4 for me is so 7 of 9 heavy. I get a little weary of that at this point. But season 5, Jeri Ryan has completely mastered how to do 7 of 9.
She's found her footing. She knows what she excels at, and she has the little tweaks and asides here and there that really bring you in.
She found the humor in
it.
She figured out how to be stern, but charming with a twinkle in her eye at the same time.
Definitely. Well, my first one does not show the fun side of 7. It would be Drone.
Okay,
Drone
sure.
is one that
Drone. Yeah.
breaks my heart each time I see it, but I keep going back for more.
But not enough to make your main list.
Well, no, because I couldn't leave behind my other 3. So it just got squeaked out.
So Drone didn't make my honorable mentions list.
So what did make your honorable mention?
Oh, my turn?
Yeah.
I have Course Oblivion on my honorable mentions list.
Oh,
I quite enjoy that episode.
That is enjoyable.
Yeah, it almost made the main list. I had to really prioritize.
It didn't make my list at all. But yes, it is very enjoyable.
Our lists are rather different.
They
this is
are.
Great.
We're very different people.
That's okay. I still like you. I still like podcasting with you.
I would hope so, because you're stuck with me.
I still want you to come watch Voyager with me in my hut and vice versa. I think in Course Oblivion, I just like the existential anxiety of the loss of identity, not realizing you're not who you thought you were, having to figure out what your purpose in life is, if you even survive. They have to ask these hard existential questions that I like.
And then for them to not be remembered at all.
Not even a little bit.
No.
But most of us end up like that, right? In 100 years or 500 years or 1,000 years, most of us aren't going to be remembered at all.
Gee, thanks for being such a downer, Zach.
It's true, though, isn't it? Only a few lucky people get remembered in the grand scheme of history.
Well, possibly someone will find our podcasts hundreds of years from now.
No, they're going to find the To the Journey backup module 800 years in the
They'll
future.
They'll truly know I was an evil person then.
Yes. I'm only half joking here. I think that that's part of the reason I enjoy making these kinds of things, podcasts and apps and writing articles and just the things that I create, whether for work or for fun. I'm secretly kind of trying to leave artifacts behind so people have some sense of who I was. You know, in 100 years, someone's going to stumble upon one of these episodes. I have no doubt.
Are they going to find Data's head as well?
Right. No, that's in 500 years.
Okay.
And I just find that fascinating because I am interested in like ancestry and genealogy, and I enjoy finding these little nuggets about old family members, mm-hmm. ancestors or relatives, you know, things. And you'd be surprised what little breadcrumbs people leave behind, even from 150, 200, 300 years ago. People left paper trails and signatures on stuff and this official document. And you can kind of weave together the thread of someone's life, albeit very piecemeal, from these little artifacts. And, you know, someone down the road may try to piece my life together based on all of this stuff. I just think that's fascinating, unlike the fake Voyager crew in Course Oblivion. Mm-hmm. So that's why I like Course Oblivion. I think it makes me reflect on those kinds of meaningful questions about life.
Okay. I can see that.
But not enough to make my list.
But pretty close.
Pretty close, yes. Pretty close. Okay, so what's next on your honorable mentions list?
Next on my honorable mentions would be The Fight.
Really? You put The Fight on your list?
Dude, why'd you have to say it like that? Really? You put The Fight on your list? Yes, I put The Fight.
I hate that episode.
It's got Boothby. You should love it. You're all about the Boothby.
I don't like it one bit. No. It is like near the bottom of my list of Voyager episodes.
Oh, no.
Pretty close to the bottom for me.
No.
You have to justify this. Why do you like The Fight?
One, Chakotay.
Okay.
Two, Chakotay boxing. Three, we get more of his backstory.
It's all about Chakotay boxing?
We find out about his grandfather.
I am pro Chakotay backstory, yes.
I'm sorry, I can't turn down a chance to watch Chakotay. A Chakotay-centric episode.
I guess there aren't, strictly speaking, too many Chakotay-centric episodes.
No, there aren't.
That's true. I like Tattoo more, but that's not in this season, of course.
I like Tattoo more, but that's for different reasons, and I've said those reasons on another episode.
That's your To the Journey scavenger hunt. Go find out what Suzanne said about Tattoo.
Oh, like it's going to be difficult to figure out what Suzanne said about Tattoo.
Anyone who knows you, I may not be able to guess your episodes, but I know what you say about Tattoo.
I mean, during his vision quests, we get to see Chakotay's grandfather, which is nice because previously we've only seen his father. So having that extra little step in the family link. I wish we could have seen his mother or perhaps his grandmother, but, you know, I'll take what I get.
Yeah, why not?
And there's more Boothby, which more Ray Walston is always a good thing.
And yet In the Flesh didn't make your list.
No, because I knew it would probably make yours. Probably. That's not real Boothby. That's 8472 Boothby.
That's true. At this point, we're kind of gaming the system. Like, okay, I know Suzanne's going to pick this, and you know I'm going to pick that. So that's going to color our picks to make sure we get the most number of... To make sure we get the greatest number of Voyager
episodes. That's what I always did with Kay. I was like, Kay is going to pick this one. So I will stay away from that so I can pick this one.
Well, you hit someone to watch over me on hit the nail on the head there. You totally picked that
because
one.
Because I remember you saying how much you loved that episode.
Yeah, I do. Okay, so The Fight. Mm-hmm. No, that really caught me off guard. I would not have guessed The Fight, even though it was Chakotay, and I would not have guessed Bliss earlier on. So you are throwing me for a loop.
So what's next on your honorable mentions?
Relativity. I have Relativity on
mine
my list.
Too. That was my other seven episode. Because we get to see her in an actual uniform. I love that.
I like seeing Voyager before it was launched, quote unquote.
And the return of the Bun of Steel.
Yes.
It just won't die. It keeps coming back.
I like the moment of a new captain taking over a new ship, you know, sitting in the center seat mm-hmm. for the first time. And Kate Mulgrew totally sells sitting in the captain's chair for the first time.
She does.
Enjoying the moment. Yeah. What a moment. That's the moment you've been shooting for your entire career in Starfleet. It doesn't get better than that.
I do have one left. Do you want to try and guess it or not?
Oh, let me try. I'm not optimistic.
Okay.
My track record at this is not great.
I can give you a hint if you'd like.
No. Okay. No hints. Okay. It's okay. Is it 30 days?
No,
not 30 days.
No.
Okay, give me the hint.
Here begins a new life.
You were talking to your resident Dante scholar, so I will have to go with latent image.
Exactly.
There is approximately no chance I would miss that clue.
Any chance that the doctor gets to expound on his development and evolve past where his constraints used to be, it's got to be an honorable mention.
Have you read La Vita Nuova?
I have not.
You must.
I'll put it on my list. Have you read it?
I have, in fact, quite a long time ago. It's charming because it makes the Divine Comedy make so much more sense because you understand the role that Beatrice plays. Mm-hmm. It's essentially Dante's poetry. He alternates between writing a poem and then explaining the meaning of the poem. And it just goes back and forth. Like, he'll write a poem and then he'll explain what the poem means.
So he goes off on tangents? Another poem and
no, he's just explaining the meaning of it as if the meaning was not totally clear from the poem itself.
Well, sometimes the meaning of poetry can be taken different ways. So he just wanted to be sure that you took it the way he meant it.
It's incredibly romantic, but it's also incredibly sad because he becomes enamored with this woman, Beatrice, at three different stages in life. One when they're kids, when they're 9 years old, and then another at 18 when she rejects him. And I think the last one is when she dies. But she becomes kind of a symbol for Dante that he uses in the Divine Comedy for literary purposes. Very enlightening if you're interested in such things. Okay. So yes, Here Begins a New Life. That is a clue I would not miss, having been interested in all of those things.
And that is our list.
Ta-da! I did actually have Bride of Chaotica on my honorable mentions list. I didn't mention that earlier, but it was on my honorable mentions list. Well, Suzanne, or should I say Chaotica's henchman, it's been fun talking about Voyager Season 5, but this isn't the only thing we've been talking about here on Trek FM this past week, so here's a quick look at some of the other things you may have missed elsewhere on Trek.fm.
Previously on Trek.fm, Warp 5.
I guess I'm going to be the one dissenter because I saw major differences, maybe not in the way it was shot, but in the storylines, and I just thought, yeah, it's Klingon court, and that's pretty much where the similarities ended for me.
The 602 Club.
And I really love, before they go to detention, their principal, Bentley, saying, you know, you get one life, and you get to decide how you're going to spend it. And on top of that, Bravestone says to Finbar, he says, you know, it's a lot easier to be brave when you've got lives to spare. It's a lot harder when you only have one life. And Finbar's like, you've only ever had one life.
The Orb.
I feel like they found a reason for why Sisko would say, okay, I'll stay. Otherwise, you know, he immediately, at the beginning, was like, I'm not going to help you. I'm not going to get involved. Send me back to my universe. This is not my place.
Earl Grey.
Wesley and Patru pass by Worf's quarters where they hear screams coming from within. They find Worf is being beaten by Geordi, Tasha, and Data. There's more. Patru moves in to help, but Wesley stops him. He explains that this moment of humiliation is one celebrated by Klingons.
Okay.
So, and the script goes on to explain that Worf tearfully thanks Geordi, Tasha, and Data because being humiliated by friends makes it, quote, the finest humiliation he'd ever experienced.
Okay, I almost believe that, except the part that says Worf in tears.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
Check out all of these shows and join the conversation about your favorite corner of the Star Trek universe and beyond. You'll find us wherever you get your podcasts. If you're an Apple user, be sure to hit the subscribe button in Apple Podcasts on your iPhone, iPad, Apple TV, or the desktop iTunes app to get the latest episodes as soon as they're published. And please leave us a star rating and a written review. If you're not an Apple user, we've got you covered as well. You can find our shows on Google Play Music, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spreaker, SoundCloud, Windows Phone, and most third-party podcast apps. And you can stream and download the MP3 file from our website or grab the RSS link as well.
We'd love to hear your thoughts on today's show, and there are many ways for you to do that. The best place to join in the larger conversation is the Babel Conference, our listeners-only group on Facebook. Just type Babel, that's B-A-B-E-L, into the search field on Facebook, and it should come right up. If you'd like to send us an email, you can use the form on our website at trek.fm/contact. choose Message to a Trek.fm show, and select To the Journey. That'll come right to us. You can also find the network on Twitter at TrekFM and on Facebook at facebook.com/TrekFM. Well, Zach, when you're not busy harmonizing with the Doctor, where can our listeners find you?
Well, you can find me on a little show called MetaTreks. We talk about philosophy. And you can find me in the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook. And when I'm not doing two-part harmony, you can find me on Twitter. My handle is just my name, at Zachary Fruhling. That's Zachary, Z-A-C-H-A-R-Y, Fruhling, F-R-U-H-L-I-N-G. And how about you, Suzanne, when you're not on the phone with Space Ticketmaster to get front row seats to Chakotay's boxing match, where can our listeners find you on the interwebs and around the Trek FM network?
Like I don't already have, like, season tickets for that? Seriously,
does boxing have seasons? Are there season tickets to boxing? Is that a thing?
There will be. I will constantly have front row tickets to see Chakotay fight.
Every match of Chakotay's,
every
front
match.
Row, you're there with the sign. Team Chakotay.
Either that or I'm his corner man. I'll take either one.
I could see you wanted to be as close to Chakotay as possible, so you're in his corner.
I'll sponge him down in between rounds. Yeah, sure. That's what a corner man does. I'll be there. But barring those times, you can find me popping up now and again in the Babel Conference, or you can find me on Twitter. My handle is KJaneWay8.
Well, if you'd like to help us keep all of our shows coming to you each week, we invite you to become a patron of the network on Patreon. Just visit patreon.com/trekfm, that's patreon.com/trekfm, to get all the details. Perks include early access to episodes, exclusive content, producer credits, and many more, all available through our special patrons website, the Patron Zone. It requires a great deal of time and money to produce, host, and distribute these podcasts each month. We really appreciate any support you can give us, and we hope you'll join the team. Again, you'll find all the details at patreon.com/trekfm.
We do have a few people we would like to thank. First and foremost being C. Brian Jones, the founder and publisher of Trek.fm, who is really our own Captain Proton. Executive producers Matthew Rushing and Kenneth Tripp. Aaron Harvey, our art director. Richard Marquez, our production manager, and Brandon Shematala, our Patreon manager. Also, a very big thank you to our associate producers, Bruce Lish, Ju Kim, Richard Marquez, Patrick Carlin, and Norman Lau. Thank you for your support of To the Journey and Trek FM.
Well, be sure to join us next time when we will be pushing our luck and making our fourth temporal jump. But until then, this has been To the Journey.